This podcast is sponsored by Stoney's Bar and Grill Siren Sister. Telephone 01285 642 006. This podcast is also sponsored by the Fryer Tuck Fish and Chip Shop Siren Sister. Telephone 01285 654 263. Or visit www.thefryertuck.co.uk.
It's summertime in Amity Island, New England, a small community that relies on its beaches every year. But this year, they have a visitor that wants to do more than swim in the sea. It's up to the town sheriff, a marine expert, and a wily old fisherman to save Amity Island from a horror from the deep. Starring Roy Scheider, Richard Dreyfuss, and Robert Shaw, directed by Steven Spielberg.
Ahoy, hoy, I'm Neil.
And I'm Pavel.
And welcome to Review Rewind.
Yay!
Right, this is a new one. This is where we're going to go back and look at some of the classic movies of all ages and times and give a little review. So within this little review, and this is only our review, this is only ours, we're going to also be bringing up favourite character, favourite dialogue, favourite image, favourite scene, and our toes up rating. Now, if you know anything about us at Pancast, we give up to a 5-toe rating. So, we will also be having a little quiz, little questions. We'll have an easy question, a medium question, and a hard question to test our knowledge of the films.
Yes.
Now, the film in question today, I'm going to say it, is Jaws.
Well done.
Jaws. I just wanted to give a little introduction.
Okay.
Because we've got the ground rules on, and, you know, we're off running now. So, Jaws. I'm going to ask you, Pav, when did you first see this movie?
I honestly can't remember. My first memory of seeing Jaws was probably as like a 10-year-old.
Okay.
I think something like that. Might have been a bit older. No, I might have been a bit older. I might have been about 15. But I can remember getting my eye nearly poked out by one of my cousins. Because the moment when, I can't remember his name, Ben.
No, it comes up in the hole.
The head pops out. We both sort of darted behind a cushion and she poked me in the eye. And at that moment, that was one of the first things. But it was always that, there were always images of the movie that just always stuck with me, and we've had this long running thing of whether it was a horror or a thriller.
Yeah.
To me, it's always been a horror movie,
and to me, to be fair,
it's always been something that it's never made me not want to go in the water, because I'm not a watery kind of person, but the images in there, it was just fantastically made. So it's the leg floating. Mm.
How long it took you to actually see the shark? I mean, you only ever saw the fin or a little bit of the top of the shark. You didn't actually see the shark. And that, and we, I must say, is the music. The first time I heard that music, I still remember it today.
Mm.
Me and my brother were staying at my grandparents' house, and my granddad was looking after us that night, and he let us sit down and watch it. I must have only been between 8 to 10, and I was terrified when I went to bed. I was properly scared.
It's one of those things, and I equate it to the same, because to me it still sends the shivers down my spine when you hear that music.
Yeah.
And it's the same as the Omen music for me.
Yeah.
The Omen music, I can remember when Mum and Dad watching the Omen downstairs, and I had to put putting like the covers over my head because I could hear the music, and the music was frightening me. So, and it was the same with Jaws. Every time you heard that, it's just, you think, oh my God, you know. But that is the genius of someone like John Williams.
I know.
That can make you scared with two notes.
And it's such a simple bit of music, and it's been parodied so many times, so many times, but it's still a classic piece of music. It really is.
And your point about, the whole reason that we don't see the shark very much is because I mean, I don't think that was Spielberg's intention. It was just that the shark didn't work.
No, and the mechanical budget, shark.
Yeah, it became unfeasible
for it.
Exactly, but it's one of those sort of beautiful mistakes. A bit like they say about Star Wars, the fact that Star Wars was under such constraints, and that's how it became such a beautiful one-off to start with.
Yeah,
it was the same with Jaws. Is that it wasn't planning. They were planning on having the shark in there a lot,
all the time.
But because it didn't work, and that's what made it. Because you never quite saw. There's only a couple of times when it looks a little bit ropey. But I like that. I was only talking to someone today saying that they should never remake it.
No.
Because what they would do is they'd make it a CGI shark.
And try and make it.
And try and make it, And
you'd see it all the time.
Yeah, and you don't want that.
Well, if you think, I mean, there's been so many other films that have sort of aped what Jaws was, like Orca the Killer Whale. You remember that one? With Richard Harris and Bo Derek, and then I was going to say recently, but it was like 1999, was Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, well, Shallows that came out last year.
As much as it did great things, it was like the advent of the summer blockbuster as well with Jaws. It also did a lot of damage, I believe, to sharks. It did an awful lot of damage to sharks and their reputation, which is quite sad, but we forget that there was no such thing as the big summer blockbuster before this movie.
This was the first one,
and then it come out and woof, you know, more like
that's Pip-it.
What's Pip-it?
That's the dog.
Oh, yeah.
He said woof.
Oh, right.
I just thought you was making a little pun on that. Obviously
no,
not. I should have had that as your hard question.
You should have done.
Look at that. I'd have gotten you with that one.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have gotten you that one. But, yeah, I mean, overall, it's... to me, it is one of those movies that... I don't think any movie is perfect.
No.
But that is... It's one of those movies that is near perfect.
There's a handful, isn't there? Well, there's probably more than a handful.
Yeah, but if you look at absolutely everything that works, you've got a director. I mean, he was still young and hungry at that time. You had...
It was only his second motion picture, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He'd done Jewel and then...
Yeah.
Oh, actually, was it...
Sugarland Express.
Sugarland... Well, no, because Jewel
was a TV movie.
Yeah, so officially it was his second cinema movie.
But you also had, you know, fantastic music. You had fantastic writing.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'd say the three main characters were fantastic. But you also had... how was it? Lorraine Gray?
Yeah.
That was... I've forgotten what a character's name was now.
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, right. Okay, that's what's
right.
Yeah. Okay, but so it's almost like everything all worked and all clicked into place and created this near-perfect movie.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it is. There's so much to talk about in the movie, but we've picked five sort of questions about this.
Yeah.
And this leads me on quite nicely because we've been talking about the people that are in it. Nobody was really a major star, were they, then? Apart from Robert Shaw, he won an Oscar, Man for All Seasons and all of this, and quite an esteemed actor.
Are we talking about favourite character now?
Yeah.
Favourite character.
So the question I was just going to say was favourite character, and mine is Robert Shaw, Flint.
I noticed that on the notes that you wrote.
Also correct, that is Quint. Always from, like I spoke about when I saw it at my grandparents' house, that scene where he brings his nails down the chalkboard is an introduction and a half. It just, and you remember him and you think, well, why are they not asking him? He's the man that's going to go and kick ass and get them. He just came across as that character. He was lovable yet unpredictable.
He's an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Isn't he? Because I don't know if you've seen seen the deleted scene where he's having a go at this little kid playing the flute and he's being really horrible to this little kid. Pa, 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 pa. And really having a go at him. But he's also, like you say, you need help. He's the guy that you've got to go and see.
You go and see, isn't it?
You know, he is, but as a performance, I mean, just for the USS Indianapolis scene alone, it's an amazing performance. But he's also, I mean, there's so many, I mean, with the different sections that we've put in, he could be in every single one of them.
Himself.
Every single one of them.
And, you know, deservedly so as well. So who was yours?
Mine is Hooper.
Okay.
I love Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Now, there's something about Richard Dreyfuss, especially when he's got facial hair.
Right.
And he's one of those guys that, like, he doesn't, to me, seem the same when he's in Close Encounters.
No.
Because he hasn't got facial hair.
Right.
He just, there's something, so, oh, I don't know how to explain it. There's something warm and familiar and cuddly about him when he's got facial hair. Yet he looks complete, and even with just a tash.
Yeah.
But there's something different about him. He looks like a completely different person.
Yeah, I know what
when you he
mean.
Hasn't. Yeah. But Hooper in this movie is, again, he's one of those guys that he's a bit like, I don't want to equate him to a dog, but you don't want him to die.
No.
Because he is like the lovable character that you just don't want him to get eaten. Or
I always remember the bit where he crushes the cup.
Exactly.
Where, you that, know, that can gets crushed, he crushes
that
his
to
cup.
Me is a typical Spielberg yeah. moment. That is, and then when that whole section when he does that, and then Quint is arguing with him, and he's doing it, going like that, and he's going up the stairs and sort of doing all these funny sort of gesticulating towards human. Him.
It's that human bit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the bit that I think is. I mean, look, they're all great. You know, we don't want to leave Roy Scheider.
No.
I think Roy Scheider is fantastic in it.
Well, that's the one thing about the three leads as well. Their performances are so natural.
Yeah.
Do you know, sometimes you can watch that film, and I'll put Anthony Hopkins, not that he was in this film, but when you watch one of his performances, quite often you can see he's acting.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas this, all three of them were just completely natural and invested in what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, they're talking about a giant shark and this man-eating thing that probably could be real, but probably wouldn't ever be. Boom, they're in it and it's real.
Yeah.
And they're as much to, you know, Spielberg did the direction, but they're as much to give credit to as Spielberg because of how natural they were and made you feel like you're watching something real.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Which brings me on, Roy. Oh, Roy's bit of favourites, dialogue. So it leads us nicely on to Roy, as I was going to say. Roy and with me with the favourite piece of dialogue. Now, there's loads of memorable bits of dialogue.
Indeed,
there
is.
But it's just one piece of dialogue, and I always remember...
Smile, you son of a bitch!
But he doesn't actually say, I watched this today, because I was grabbing clips. He doesn't actually, I don't think he actually says bitch, or you don't hear him say bitch, because it's smile, you son of a... And then as he fires is when he says bitch.
Right.
But it's...
You know it's what he says.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just that whole last bit.
Well, you don't think, I genuinely thought, well, he's had it.
Yeah.
He's had it. Absolutely had it, because again I can vividly remember watching this, and the canister's there, and I didn't even register the first time, and then suddenly you see it and he goes smile and boom, and the big explosion and the slopping meat all up in the air. It's just like, whoa, they've done it.
And it's also that shot when the shark is swimming through with the canister in its mouth. You can see all the bits of flesh in between his teeth, which was great. But it's one of those finales, if you want to call it that, that is, you can imagine being sat in an American cinema and everybody losing their
shit. Yeah, of course they were. There would be the whoops and the hollers and the claps. And
yeah. Now, I'm sure that I've seen it, whether I saw it at school. Because I saw it with a load of people, I'm sure, and people cheered at that moment. And I can't think where I would have seen it. Where
have you ever seen it at the cinema?
No.
I've never seen it. Well, I have seen it on a big-ish screen, but not a big screen.
No, it is one of those films that I'd love to see with an American audience. Because you don't get that with British audiences.
They've done screenings on the beach, haven't they? Which I think would be brilliant.
Yeah, or you can. I think there's somewhere in England that's done it where you sit in a boat. And watch it.
All right, that'd be
amazing.
Universal, when we were there, I mean, we were lucky to get on the Jaws ride pretty much before it shut. It was shut that year, wasn't it?
That's right.
Imagine watching it on that.
I know. They've done that. I'm sure they must have done.
That'd just be awesome. So, what's your favourite piece?
Well, mine again is Brody, but it was a scene. It was a line that wasn't in the original script that he made up on the spot.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's about as iconic as Smile, You Son of a Bitch, if not even more.
Probably more.
It's probably more. And the fact that... I always wonder when they say that, because... I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've never been on the set of a film, so I don't know how the process works in regards to somebody coming up with a line like that. I mean, there must have been... They would have had that moment... Mm. Where he's throwing the chum or whatever they call it, and he sees the shark and he stands up, and then he's backing into. See, yeah. there must have been a line in the original script that he had to say, and then I can assume that they would have filmed that a couple of times and then go, let's have a go at something else, and he's thinking, oh, I've got something better. It would have been nice, but it's an iconic line. It's just
well, it's that whole bit. Why didn't you come down here and shovel some of this shit? And it just goes,
yeah.
Because that was the thing that as well. Don't forget with Spielberg, is he wasn't adverse to putting like the shit word into a movie.
No.
E.T. had it and everything, didn't it?
Well, penis breath.
Yeah,
that was in E.T. That was a youth certificate. It's a youth
certificate. I mean, I know Jaws, when it first came out in this country, was an X, apparently.
That wouldn't surprise me.
At the cinema.
And for good reason.
Yes.
It's really bloody. You know, you've got heads popping up and you've got legs drifting down with pieces of flesh dangling off it. And
you've got one of the biggest jumps in cinema history, I say.
Yeah.
And does that still make you jump?
It does. Well, it doesn't. No, there isn't much that makes me jump. I have to say that, I mean, my wife will jump all the time at certain things. I can't remember the last time I actually jumped at something in the cinema. I think it's because those tropes are used all the time now. If in a horror, even in a horror trailer, if I see one more woman close like a bathroom mirror and there's something, try something different. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we watched Lights Out a couple of nights ago and that was okay, but there were still those tropes. That's another film.
Yeah, that's a whole other.
But what I was going to say is that moment is earned.
Mm.
You're not thinking that that's going to happen.
No.
And I know the music has a lot to do with it, as it is with every jump scare.
Yeah, it's all about the sudden loud, isn't it? But as opposed to, you know, somebody just went, there's nothing behind it. You're not going to jump.
No, that's right. But yeah, it's one of those moments.
Right, so next. Favourite image from the movie. So, Pav, I'm going to ask you now your favourite image from the movie.
Okay, I can't remember what the actual term is called, but I called it the pulled focus.
Yeah.
When Brody is sat on the beach, he doesn't want the beach to be open, but the mayor with his lovely suit with... anchors on it has said no, that the beach is going to be open, and he sees the Kettner kid, or I think that's his name, getting eaten by the shark. And it's that when the camera comes close to him, but the background sort of goes far away.
It's a very, very, very clever shot, because it was the first of its time, isn't it?
Well, I don't know, because I think they said that Hitchcock had used it.
Oh, right, could have done.
And there is. Videos on YouTube of how to do that.
Right.
I think you're dollying in, but then you're pulling the focus out or something at the same time. So the depth of field is sort of which. Yeah. But I can remember watching that the very first time, and I've never taken drugs in my life, but it's sort of that thing of like, oh my God, like your eyes are swirling, and you thought, how did they do that?
Mm.
It was amazing, all like in camera stuff, but. That was one of the very first things I can remember about watching Jaws the first time was that shot. And that's just the shot that I've always been impressed with.
No, it's a phenomenally good shot. I always, well, you associate that sort of shot, if they use it again, I can't think off the top of my head what film I'm thinking of, where they did a very similar shot, but you automatically think of Jaws, and you think, well, they use that in Jaws.
Exactly. Right? It's the Jaws shot. Yeah, that's what I would call it, that. If I ever see it anywhere else, it's the Jaws shot.
Well, mine, it's another Jaws shot, is the legs in the water. At the very beginning, when they are at the party and they run off, strip off, and she goes out to swim, he falls over on the beach, and out she gets, and you get the shot coming up when she's swimming. Just her legs.
Mm.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
But it's such an image.
But don't you think that's... It's the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
The fact that they're using the camera as the shark's point of view.
Mm.
So you don't have to bother having a shark there. It's a lot more effective where you just see the, you know, you'd see that instead of seeing a shark's mouth grabbing.
Exactly. It. And I mean, obviously that was what became the poster, wasn't it? So, you know, you could see her there and the shark coming up underneath. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, that image, just, it's classic. And again, it's probably Spielberg, the genius that he is.
Yeah.
Just to come up with that shot. I think it must have been him. Just saying, well, we don't need the shark. We'll just bring, like you said, bring the camera up and you've got those little legs. And it is terrifying. Still now, it's terrifying.
I would love to know whether or not, again, that was a result of the fact that they had a shark that didn't work. Probably. Or whether that was in his mind that we'll do that originally.
Yeah, because the opening, isn't it, is obviously it's supposed to be the shark swimming through the sea, through the reeds.
Yeah, but they when the guy whose leg drifts, they used the shark in that moment, didn't they? If you look and remember, he's holding on to the boy's boat, and then you see the shark under the water coming up behind him. It just makes me think whether or not that shot maybe.
Well, maybe. I mean,
I'd love to. I'm sure there might be documentaries.
Well, there. Spielberg should do a commentary and tell us.
Oh, that'll never happen.
I'd love for Spielberg to do a commentary.
That will never happen.
But it's a movie full of iconic images. You know, just like you say, you just have to think the leg floating down, Quint being eaten on the boat. I mean, all right, the shark doesn't look real, but.
That was one of the most gruesome deaths I can remember as a kid.
Well, yeah.
Watching it as a kid.
You didn't see the blood come out really when you were that young, did
no,
you?
No, no.
But it did that time.
And the blood coming from the person's mouth was always a horrible thought. And then especially when he sort of spews it out, you know, and there's an outtake, if you've seen the outtake, where he spews it out and it goes all in his eye. And, that's horrible.
Yeah. Right, so next. Our favourite scene. So many to choose from. Really, really so many to choose from. But the one, as I've got older, that I appreciate more than any more is the Indianapolis scene, where Robert Shaw gives this whole speech about the USS Indianapolis. I mean, if you haven't seen the film, or you have seen the film and you're unaware of this, I'm not going to say too much, but really listen to that speech, because it is upsetting. I think that's the word. I can't think of any other word. And obviously it all stems, the whole scene is brilliant. So you start with them comparing the scars, and then they talk about the Indianapolis, and then they start drunkenly singing "Show Me the Way to Go Home," and then we get Mr. Shark back. Bruce is in, but that whole build up is just brilliant, and the performances are fantastic.
Now, I'm right in saying that he wrote that himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
Apparently he wrote that whole scene himself.
Yeah.
I just to prepare for this, I watched that scene again today, and it's weird how, like, there are certain words in it and that I never understood as a kid.
Right.
But you still just listen to it because it was part of the movie. And then as you get older, you understand certain little bits, and little bits are more relevant. It's by far one of the most powerful things that you, and the thing is, it's not a story, it's real.
No, it's a true thing. Yeah.
It's a true story. Yeah. So it's not like he's making this up as he goes along, you know, to make it dramatic. Mm. It's a dramatic thing because it's an event that actually happened. I completely agree with you. Although that wasn't
Doll's Eyes.
Yeah. That wasn't obviously my favorite scene. My favorite scene is right from Quint's death. And we've already spoken about it before. Just Brody on the ship's mast,
and it's
getting
sinking.
Closer and closer to the water, and you know that he hates the water as it is, and he's literally. I mean, it's one of those things where his gun almost seems to have for a start, he's not loading the gun. It's one of those barrel load things, so he's not he's not doing that. But that's an inconsistency that you can sort of get away with. And he's got almost like endless bullets.
Yeah,
but. It's one of those things where everything just all melds together. You've got fantastic action, you've got fantastic acting, you've got fantastic music, and it all culminates in that smile, you son of a bitch.
And, well, the suspense of it, is he going to do it, isn't it? When he first watches it, and you think Hooper's dead.
Exactly.
I thought Hooper.
Exactly,
the first time you thought Hooper was dead.
Yeah.
And, well, you're just like, you're stuck in there. What if another shark's
there? You say that, and then when it's all finished, then it goes to like some of the debris and there's bubbles.
Yeah.
And for the life of me, the very first time I watched that, I thought that's going to be Quint's like body popping up.
Right.
Because he mentioned about how he saw his mate and then it popped up and overended and he'd been bitten in half, which is what had happened to him. And then obviously it's, but then you go, oh no, it's furry face. Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss.
Our friendly furry face.
And the fact that the last scene, it's like you can see them in the background as they get into the beach because they're pedaling, aren't they?
They're on the barrels. Kicking their way back to shore.
But
we'll give our toes up in a minute. I just want to give reference to, there's been a lot of sequels.
Yes.
Okay, Roy Scheider was back in 2.
Yep.
And I don't mind 2.
It's okay.
I mean, it's not a patch. You can't compare it to the other one, but it was okay. It was enjoyable. Yeah. Do you know, the only bit I remember from that film is, because I was younger, you didn't really hear a lot of bad language. And that girl's got sparrow tits.
Yeah.
Do you remember that bit?
Yeah.
Always stuck in my mind.
But there isn't that much about number 2 that I do remember.
Electrocuted.
Yeah.
It was all right. It was passable. I watched it. Number 3 with Dennis Quaid. Oh.
I saw that at the cinema in 3D.
I watched it in 3D.
But it was crap.
Yeah.
It was literally let's get that. And it was that sort of stuff. And it just was.
Yeah. I don't know. It was on at Siren Cinema, I remember that, but I don't think I ever went to see it. I watched it when it came out on video and was just like, okay.
And by that time, I think Roy Scheider's, the Brody character, had died, hadn't he?
Yeah, and Lou Gossett Jr. was
in that? Yeah, Lou Gossett Jr. No, was he in that? He was in The Deep.
I don't know.
I mean, it's.
But and then number 4 with Michael Caine, just doing it because he wanted a holiday to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
But you had a shark that followed them.
Yeah. So they followed. It was only the woman, though, this time, wasn't it? Because one of the boys had died.
That's right. She'd gone to escape.
And so it was taking revenge on the Brody family. I'm pretty sure that those movies we won't be doing on Review Rewind.
Right, so next up is our toes up. So, Pav.
Yeah.
Give me your toes up.
Well, I have been thinking that while we've done this is the first show that we've done in Review Rewind, that we're picking classic movies. I think it's always going to be 5.
Well, this is 5. It's a 5.
Yeah, and I think because we're picking classic movies.
But.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you might. I mean, this, okay, we had a list of 3. We put it out there and people chose. Now, I picked the first 3, okay? And they were all films that I'm really, really, really fond of.
Yeah.
Now, you might pick 3 films and I might think, well.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I like it, but.
That's true. I mean, to be fair, for me, it's a 5.
Well, it's a classic 5.
If you can do more than 5, I'd pick more than 5, but it's 5 for me.
Yeah, it's, well, what is there not to love? It is the classic movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is the classic movie. Which brings us on to question time. So, I will ask you an easy question first.
We'll do easy
first. Now, you should know this.
Okay.
Straight away. What year was Jaws released?
1975. Yeah, that was on the start.
I saw that and I thought, damn.
All right.
But I didn't know how easy to make it.
Okay, well, my easy is, who was the last person to be killed by the shark?
Quint.
Yes, it was. Yes,
absolutely.
Now, medium question. Medium first.
Yes.
How much does Quint say he'll kill the shark for?
Is it 10,000?
It is 10,000, yes.
It is, isn't it?
Well done.
Right, yours is, who wrote the novel Jaws?
Peter Benchley.
Well done.
Yay!
Right, did you ever read it?
I didn't, no.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's
very close.
But isn't, because Hooper has an affair with Brody's wife.
He does.
But
it's a long time since I've read it. I do remember it, though. I read another one about a giant squid that he had written in his career and really enjoyed that.
Was that called Tentacles?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember what it was called. And I gave it to my dad and said, read that. And he said, oh, it's good fun. It's just Jaws with a giant squid.
Oh,
it's all right, it is, but it's good fun. Right, the hard one then.
Okay, then.
So, what was Brody's wife's name?
No.
And I'll give you a half a point. Well, you already know the actress anyway.
So it's Lorraine Gray. Oh my God, how can I not know this? Ellen. Was it Ellen Brody?
Yes! Is it Gray or is it Gary?
It might be Gary.
It's actually. Lorraine Gary,
I think
isn't it?
It is, yeah. Right, so your hard question. When the men are comparing scars, what is the name of the girl that broke Hooper's heart?
Oh, God. No, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get that. I can't remember.
No?
No, I will be sat here for ages going, I can remember them talking about it, but no.
Okay, I'm not going to say what the answer is then. We'll leave it to the people watching.
Yeah, that's
if you know
great
the answer,
idea.
Then put it in the comments box below. If you know that, I mean, you can go to YouTube actually, and watch it.
No,
but,
no, no.
You going to have a guess?
I was going to say, is it Mary Lou?
It isn't Mary Lou.
All right.
It isn't, but there you go.
Well, fantastic. So thank you very much for watching, but
thank you.
Remember to like this video, please. It is our first one and it's all sort of settling in and bedding ourselves in for more to come.
Indeed, we will be putting up the next three movies that we're going to choose from. If you want to come and follow us on Twitter at Pancast Pods, we'll be putting a poll up very soon for the three movies that you can choose for the next episode of Review Rewind.
And also remember, like I said, like our page, like our video, but also leave some comments below. You can comment away. Tell us who broke was it Hooper's heart?
Yes. And you can also tell us what your favourite character is, your favourite line of dialogue, what your favourite image and your favourite scene is, and also what your toes up score would be.
And is there anybody out there that doesn't like this movie? Because I've never met anyone.
Interesting. It'd be interesting.
There must be somebody.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's plenty.
And I'd love to hear why.
Yeah, indeed.
Right, so thank you very much for watching. We'll see you again for another Review Rewind. I'll put some new teeth in next time I come in. Thank you very much, Pav.
Thanks, Neil.
That's a pleasure. And we'll see you all again soon. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is sponsored by Stoney's Bar and Grill Cirencester. Telephone 01285 642 006. This podcast is also sponsored by the Fryer Tuck Fish and Chip Shop Cirencester. Telephone 01285 654 263. Or visit www.thefryertuck.co.uk.